Hello and welcome. This is JD Fascinetti, and you're listening to another exclusive podcast from Pituitary World News. In today's podcast, Dr. Blevins discusses an April 2019 Swedish paper on the incidence of Cushing's disease worldwide. Here is Dr. Blevins.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Lewis Blevins of Pituitary World News, podcasting to you from my office at the University of California, San Francisco, in San Francisco, California. I'm leafing through a medical journal and came across a very interesting paper that I want to discuss with you. This paper is called The Incidence of Cushing's Disease, a Nationwide Swedish Study. It was published in a journal, Pituitary, volume 22, number 2, April 2019, and it's covered on pages 179 to 186. Sweden has been a tremendous place for the rest of the world as far as medical research is concerned, and that's largely because they have probably the best national database or patient registry on different diagnoses and treatment, etc. And they can take a look at that registry and mine that for data and give us information about epidemiology and disease outcomes that practically no other country can do as well as they can do it. We can get that information from other countries, but I think they do it better than anybody. And they were interested in the incidence of Cushing's disease. They've given us data about the incidence of acromegaly that's been evaluated and studied at other countries, and everybody confirms their findings. Same on hypopituitarism, outcomes of hypopituitarism, etc. Well, this time they wanted to study the incidence of Cushing's disease. And of course, whenever you do this with a population-based study, what the data that you get is only as good as the people entering it. So that you may have some trash that you have to wade through, or people who don't really have a disease that they're said to have. Of course, they found that in the study. That's why I'm giving the prelude. It's been estimated that Cushing's occurs between 1.2 and 2.4 cases per million per year, and that the prevalence of Cushing's might be as high as 5 to 25 patients per million, because obviously people with Cushing's can live, and every year you're accumulating more people, and then you know, before you know it, you have a population of people running around with Cushing's disease or syndrome. And of course, many of them have encounters with medical facilities and ultimately get diagnosed. So the first thing I'll say is that the data have to be considered from that perspective, and that this is sort of people who were thought to have Cushing's disease or probable Cushing's disease and were given that diagnosis code. So it may actually underestimate the incidence of Cushing's, but their system is pretty impressive. And I think we can believe that at least for Swedish folks, which is not representative of every population in the world, obviously, these numbers are probably going to be fairly reliable and translational to other groups as well. Because so far we don't know of any instance where Cushing's disease is more common in one location versus another. Seems that all humans, regardless of race and ethnicity and background, whatever, are affected equally. So at any rate, they found, looking through their national patient registry between 1987 and 2013, that there were 1,317 patients identified. They reviewed the records, made the determinations about whether those identifications were real, and they were able to confirm that 534, or 41% of patients where they were said to have Cushing's disease in the chart, had actually confirmed disease. Interestingly, 12% of patients, total of 156 people, had other forms of Cushing, so maybe adrenal tumors or ectopic ACTH or what have you. 3% had probable but unconfirmed disease, and 25% had diagnoses unrelated to Cushing syndrome, but for some reason they were coded as having Cushing's even though they didn't. And that's sort of the, you know, the old garbage in, garbage out philosophy, that sometimes people are going to be diagnosed with something and not really have it. It gets into their medical record. It happens here. We have to use a diagnosis code to order a urine free cortisol, we'll put Cushing syndrome. And then, you know, if someone were doing this type of research in America, you would say, oh, this is a patient with Cushing syndrome, when really we just did that to get the test done. And maybe two or three notes later, we said they didn't have Cushing. So I think the same thing probably happens here and led to that 25% error rate, if you will. What they found altogether was that there was an incidence of, in Sweden, of Cushing's of 1.6 cases per million. And they talked about the fact that this is fairly much in agreement with most other studies that have been done to evaluate this. Interestingly, they sort of looked over time and they found that when they compared 1996 to 2004 to 2005 to 2013, the incidence was higher in the later years, suggesting that actually, let me go back. They actually also looked 1987 and 1995, and that the incidence in the first two sets of those years mentioned were the same, but in the years 2005 to 2013, the incidence was higher. So it's 1.5% or 1.5 per million, 1.4 per million, and then 2 per million, suggesting that in later years there's earlier diagnosis and treatment or more awareness leading to this problem whatsoever. The bottom line is Cushing's disease is very rare, 1.6 cases per million. Anything that rare is usually going to be missed by a lot of treating physicians, and this explains why some patients with Cushing's have had the disease for a very long time before they're diagnosed. 1.6 cases per million. Think about how large your city is, wherever you reside, and multiply that by the 1.6, at least the factor in millions by 1.6, to get an idea of how many new cases per area or year in your area of the country. And when you think that the average primary physician probably has 5,000 to 7,000 patients in his whole practice, it's a rare disease. People are going to miss this because they're not thinking about it. That doesn't excuse them from not thinking about it, because it's something we learn in medical school. And my great big irony about Cushing's is that many patients have Cushing's and walk into the doctor's offices every day. Those are the patients taking high doses of steroids for rheumatoid arthritis, skin conditions, pulmonary problems, sinonasal problems, other autoimmune or inflammatory conditions. They're treated with steroids and they look Cushingoid, and doctors see Cushing's patients every day. The big problem or the disconnect is they don't stop and say, oh, you look like my patients who take steroids, but you're not on steroids, I wonder why. But at any rate, it's a rare disease. We've got to do something to try to heighten the recognition and increase the awareness of endogenous Cushing's to lead to early diagnosis and treatment for our patients. All right, this is Dr. Lewis Blevins signing off now. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Thank you for listening. And a quick reminder that if you want to help, you can do so by donating on our website. Just go to pituitaryworldnews.org and click on Get Involved. Our mission is to help reduce the time it takes to diagnosis and improve quality of life for people with pituitary disease. Thank you.